previously on 24.
I am issuing an executive order imposing a curfew on all civilians in the Los Angeles metropolitan area. This curfew will be effective immediately and will be enforced by the military.
They're talking about this like it's an illegal action.
Don't worry, Mr. President. I'm in control of the situation.
Hasn't it ever occurred to you that he proposed this whole thing to set you up for a fall?
Hal's only motivation is what's best for the country.
There's going to be fallout, and you know it.
You're here to shut this place down, aren't you?
I told you before, the White House...
I know what you told me before. Now tell me the truth.
CTU is being absorbed by Homeland, which means from now on, every operational decision needs to go through me.
There's something for my brother I need to give you personally. I should be there within the hour.
You're coming here?
I know it sounds impulsive, Aaron, but I'd rather see you sooner than later.
I'm hoping there's somewhere we can meet discreetly.
And the access codes.
Yes, everything we need. Release the Centaux here.
And 200,000 people die.
The decryption key is Charlie Alpha 39 Alpha.
It worked. This is what you wanted.
Drop the gun!
I'm with the German Federal Intelligence Service. I've been undercover for the last 6 months, gathering intel on Colette's clientele.
If we don't find Pierco, hundreds of thousands of innocent people will die here today.
Let him go! He's given us what we want! Put your hands up!
As for the data I sold to Pierco, it's something that I received from a contact at the Department of Defense.
What's his name?
Her name. Audrey Raines.
You were lying to me.
She sold me the information, Mr. Bauer. Apparently she had the price.
The following takes place between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m.
Hello, I'm Joseph Hodges, production designer on the show.
And my name is John Kassar. I'm the co-executive producer, and I directed this particular episode. So, Joseph, we start again in CTU, our favorite place, our home set, and we start a lot of shows there.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't occur to me.
I think we do, because you catch everybody up,
right? Or Jack appearing from some rubble.
Yeah, that's always that's always good. In this particular case, we start with Audrey being arrested right away with our white shirts, who used to be red shirts.
Well, I don't... After, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I think two years they had red shirts on, and then I think as Homeland Security took over, we decided for a little color change. So they became white shirts.
No, I think Giles decided he hated the red shirts.
After a
year and a half. I think because... In this season, we've seen the guards more, and
yeah,
they just
right.
sort of stuck out and looked a bit Star Trek-y. So,
the truth, Audrey Raines was my contact at the Department of Defense.
You met with her face to face.
Yes.
Now it's amazing how many people, when they come to CTU, although we're all in one confined space and it's a big set, don't realize that it doesn't go floor after floor and is not spread out over a whole block. Like, this is a great example. This hallway really is just behind the other scene you just saw, mm-hmm. but the way we shoot it sort of address how we keep reusing the same sets.
Yeah, and our one holding room, because she's now going to be taken into the same holding room.
I think we change that door frame out and becomes a different holding room.
Yeah, there's three plugs. That wall behind her, that seam, there's a door behind there, and then that other wall has another wall. So we just sort of move these plugs over to make different rooms.
Burke's interrogation method should only be used as a last resort.
This situation warrants a more aggressive approach.
Then do the same.
This is a room that we all love. Now, tell people where this table came from, if we haven't talked about it already, because...
I think, well, the original design, it was used in The Division. Palmer, was it Division or District? I can never remember.
Yeah,
which
it was District in year two.
Yeah, and the original design is based on the original president's desk that I designed for the bunker, which was a complete copy of Mr. Tracy's table on Thunderbirds. So he had the red leather top and the aluminum strips, and then just took that design into Division when we did this. And now it's ended up... It ended up in CTU, the old CTU, and then we saved it and brought it here for this one.
On Audrey?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. I'll handle the interrogation.
I can't allow that.
Karen, I brought this.
It's a great set for us because, as you can see, because there's lighting at the bottom. So you've got lighting from the table and there's a huge overhead light. So everyone in that room looks good. And we're able to sort of eat up the pages and shoot very quickly in there.
And this year, I always design tables with lights in. And then when we did the retreat with the Spitfire wing table, I didn't put any lights in it. And Rodney was like, thank God for that. I don't have a light on the table. I thought I'd been helping him all these years by building lights in. I think they just got bored of it.
But you get that nice low light.
They end up putting really a piece good. Of white card on the table anyway to bounce the lights.
That's right.
I thought I'd build tables with lights in them.
This is a great scene too. I mean, it's really one of the first episodes where Jack and Karen go head to head. Jane just does a great job here going toe to toe with Kiefer. Which is not easy to do.
This is the same room where, thank God, we had those squares on the back of the wall when a previous episode, Jack has to disappear into the walls of CTU. So
that was good
magically
thinking.
These
good thinking to put those squares there, Joseph.
Yeah, I always designed a wall with squares in them, just in case.
Yeah, they were. That's right. They were locked down in this room a couple episodes ago because of the nerve gas. We also had a challenge bringing the shades down, the big metal frames that came down because we had the louvered glass that you can see right in that shot there. You see the louvered glass, so we had to bring down these big metal shutters, and that was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, as long as we know, you know, I always get scared when I read stuff like that because I know it's just a time thing. You and I can work it out in pieces, but whether we can actually physically do it in the time we're given...
Yeah. But it did work. I mean, I think it worked really well, and it became believable that the room was sealed. This is great too. I mean, you see the video. There's a lot of video, and you take it for granted after a while watching our show. But it's a great way to connect characters, and that's a prime example. Here's something a little different for us. I mean, this
a really really dark alley.
A dark alley, but without any of our leads in it. And this starts out as a fight. Jeff Caliente coordinated, the Sun coordinator, and we realize that it's really just an ambush to get the cops' uniforms and the cop car. Look great, and believe it or not, it's L.A. and it's cold at night this time of year.
Yeah, and I've learned this year that some of the fights, or a lot of them, they've been very efficient.
Yeah.
We don't drag them out. It's just sort of... You know, Jack goes in, it's one hit, that's it, and he's off. And my favorite nerve gas canisters.
Again, it's really interesting because, you know, when I can't remember the episode that the nerve gas canisters came to be, but we had no idea that virtually, I think they're going to go right till episode 23. So in the design of them, we kind of say, gee, this looks good, and you design something, and hopefully later on down the road, it's all going to work for us. And in this case, it did.
Mm. This season, the presidential retreat, which we only built for perhaps 8 episodes, have lasted the whole season.
And what do you do? Do you think about that at all? Do you think about every time you build something, what are my options here?
It's usually a question of money. If it's got to last 8 episodes, I get 8 episodes worth of money to play with. Or we say, well, you know, we're going to get our money's worth. So if we budgeted that for 8 episodes and it lasted the whole season, the money was well spent.
In which in case, of course, it did.
Yeah. So to me, I try not to be restrained from day one. Of course, if Joel says it's only going to last 3 episodes, then we're not going to go crazy.
But in this case, we didn't know. We just had to roll the dice and it came out. I also love this. I love this whole sequence only because it's shot through so many layers of glass. And, you know, our barcode that's put on the glass, it's almost dreamy. There's no other people around. It's really an interesting sort of visual. And again, it feels like they're so far away. In actual fact, they're just one glass wall away right from the main 24 bullpen. And then we're playing with the light a little bit here as the light sort of dawns on him, so does the light. That's always kind of fun. Now, although we start very heavily in CTU in this episode, we do eventually wander off.
This is the episode we're going to the gas tanks, right?
That's right. This is the one.
Please let it be. Come on.
This is the one.
His old matron. School matron.
No, this was, that's right, a whole new character.
Excuse me?
This is Kate, and she has an interesting storyline, but some inner office politics as usual on CTU. We always joke about they've probably got the worst personnel department in the world.
And security.
And security. But you know what? If they were all perfect little workers at CTU, we wouldn't have much storylines there. So they always have to have a little bit of quirkiness to them. And of course, you're looking at the queen of quirk right there, Mary Lynn, who plays Chloe.
He worked at Station 6.
I love this too. I love this little shot here where you just see the empty chair of where Louis used to be playing Edgar.
Some of them may have fallen behind in the past couple of hours. No problem.
And again, yet another new character, Miles. Oh, there's a connection. Once again, interrupted by a phone call.
Uh-oh.
Now, it's interesting because we spend, I think this year was our holding room year. There's no doubt. I think there in this particular episode, I think there's three people in holding rooms just in this episode alone.
Well, is Henderson still here?
Henderson, yeah, I think is still there.
Colette's
there.
And Audrey.
And Audrey's now in a holding room. We need to do a CGI shot where you look down the hallway and there's like 50
Well, that's
of
what
them.
We should convert the retreat into next year. Holding. Whole wall of a bank of holding cells. So you do not want to see
him walk through that door. It is a scary place. It's interesting when people come to visit, too. It's the one place they all want to see. Second you walk into CT,
really?
It's, yeah. Where's the holding room? Where all the tortures happen. And so you always walk in there and they go, oh, this is it, huh?
I gave her information, yet she can't tell you what that information is, and that's enough to make me a suspect.
I think one day you should shoot a scene when someone's walking into the holding room and the cleaner's just sort of still mopping up.
Mopping up the blood. Big puddle of blood on the ground.
Well, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
How did Colette Stinger get your name?
I don't know.
This is a wonderful scene, too. It's probably one of my favorite scenes of the year between Kim Raver and Kiefer Sutherland, of course. They're just... It's a dynamic between the two of them that we realized when we all worked on the first scene together in a hotel room last year. We just knew right away this was going to be match made in heaven. And the fact that he has to go in and interrogate her and you know, get close to torturing her was just, you know, really well-written. And a well-written idea and, you know, beautifully pulled off by the two of them.
These men. Christopher Henderson, I've never heard of him before today, and
Now you want to explain that mirror for us? Is that special two-way mirror that you buy somewhere?
No, it's just regular.
What is that?
It's
so
regular
they can do
two-way
it at home.
Middle.
People can kind of do it at home if they wanted to. So what it is basically is just a piece of glass, and when we shoot it from one side, we can shoot through it, and then when we shoot it from the other side, we put a piece of black behind it, and voila, you have a mirror. So from this angle, when you see it, it's really just a piece of glass with black behind it, and it creates a mirror.
The River Hotel, Pikesville, last
night. Oops.
Oh, she's getting caught in a lie. Not a good thing to happen when you're in the holding room.
Oh, the sleep-deprived Jack.
And just, again, a great performance. And see, a very long scene for 24. You know, our scenes usually, if you actually time them, most of them are under 2 minutes or even 1 minute sometimes. But I think this one's probably 4 or 5. It's a very long scene for us, but it sure doesn't seem that way because it's again, such good performances.
Why did you break it off?
Wouldn't you love to be sitting there and have Jack Bauer shouting at you?
Because he wasn't you.
Oh.
That's a gnaw moment. Not like it softened him up at all.
No, not at all. But the rest of us are in tears. Come on, Jack.
I was afraid that you'd think less of me.
It's funny, too, because he's, you know, about to start throwing some furniture around. And he does it in a way that it makes it look like it's made out of styrofoam. You think it's kind of like, you know, something would do just...
There's
you know,
nothing
let's put
fake
some balsa
in there.
Wood furniture in there. That table weighs like 200 pounds.
It's therapy.
It's a heavy, heavy metal table. We always have to be careful where we put the cameras.
That's why the walls are concrete.
Yeah. There it goes.
I am telling you the truth.
You've already lied to me once. You tell me what you know, or I promise you this will be.
And again, I love this because it's one shot. Just the two of them.
Do what you have to do.
Damn it, Audrey! Tell me the truth!
Yeah, it's a bit about surprise here, too, because you really feel like they're alone through this whole conversation. And then as he wheels and turns here, you realize...
You understand this is over!
You know, we could have at any point showed that these two were watching, but I think it was just a better moment to have them totally in private. And then you realize, oh my God, everything that's been said has been heard by these two. And again, Jane's just not buying it.
Send Burke in.
I have to do that. Not Burke. Now, you gave us Burke, actually.
Yes, I shot this thing for EA Games Black, and there's live action in between the levels. And Marty was one of the actors, and I thought he was really good. So.
And you recommended him?
Recommended him. He auditioned and he got the role.
Yeah. And now he's that guy you don't want to go in the holding room with. Mm-hmm. He even gets to do a little Jack Bauer later. He gets to get
upset. Yeah, he tases somebody, doesn't he?
Yeah. And now we're back to this sort of inner office politics storyline, which we've always done. I mean, it's right from the very beginning. We've had this sort of constant underlying storylines in CTU, even though terrorists are trying to blow up L.A. There's
somebody with a baby
somewhere.
We're
still worried about sexual harassment.
First mistake. I yanked the provisional and you're out of here.
I like this, too, because I shot it like an old Western. Well, actually, this isn't the scene. There's a scene later on that Chloe confronts Miles, and I just love sort of putting them nose to nose like they were in a shootout. Like it was a draw.
Miles? It was subtle at first, and then it got really bad. Finally filed a grievance. What happened?
He got off with a warning.
Oh, yes, the big sexual harassment reveal.
He said we didn't have enough evidence to go to trial. I can't get into any details. The file is sealed.
Don't worry, I don't need details.
At this point, of course, Chloe's thinking, well, this girl's crazier than I am. I don't know if that was possible, but...
Miles, are you sure it was Miles?
I'm sorry, this is out of my control. Karen was...
Again, through the windows is always fun, a little bit of foreground. Yeah, here comes one of those fights you were just talking about. You're right, I mean, we really sort of...
Oh, his book.
Yeah, there's Marty. You know, this is fast, quick. Born Identity is one of the models we use as far as how fast.
He's like, Marty's like Captain Scarlet.
That's right.
That's it, done.
And I think that's the second time he got tasered today. Poor Jack. Not sure how many times you can actually get tasered in one day, but this was Jack's second. I'm just realizing this whole show's almost in CTU. I know what the end is, and I know that we don't go out at the end, but boy, the majority of it's CTU. But that's okay. I mean, we had to save the money
for the big explosion at the end.
Here we go. At least we were Henderson's driving around.
Well, I haven't noticed that one before. Focus from the backing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done that before.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. It's for something different. Sloppy
work. We'll make it right. Oh, so Henderson's not at CTU.
That's right. Henderson's on the road, and that's right. We have some very cold jungle stuff coming up.
Was there a guy in the...
This is Agent Pierce.
There's a soldier in the retreat.
Mm-hmm. There was martial law, and we had all the presence of military that eventually goes away in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, he was cleared through checkpoint 6 30 minutes ago.
Glenn Morshire, of course, has been with us right from the very first season, and now that Carlos is dead, who plays Tony Almeida, he's actually the only character left.
From the original?
Yes. Glenn and Kiefer are the only two that have made it from year one.
Chloe wasn't a year one?
No, Chloe didn't come in until year three. And so they're the only two. Now, whether Glenn survives or not, you're just going to have to keep watching the other DVDs. But up to this point, he was still alive.
Wow.
...with a known conspirator and lied about it. That doesn't concern you?
She slept with him once and lied about it because she was embarrassed.
This is in Buchanan's office. Now, we had the opportunity, of course, when we rebuilt CTU to build these offices a little bigger because the original ones in the original set, before we moved here, they weren't very big. And now they're so much more comfortable to shoot in because they have some size to them. Although they don't look that much bigger on camera, but they are bigger to shoot in. Henderson had every reason to believe that you were going to be... What's that barcode mean?
No, we still can't tell you.
Come on. I ask you every year. Every year on these commentaries, I say, what's that barcode on the glass mean? And you never tell me. Maybe next year.
Yeah, next year. Looks good for next year.
I'm actually amazed that someone hasn't tried to decipher it. Is there like a barcode translator?
No, because it's a barcode that... corresponds to a number that is then a different code to
enter,
so it's not.
So there's no way.
And then when
really
the painters put it up, it's not. Although we put this one on this window, they may have had to add a bar or two on. And then the camera department keep ripping lines out when it's sort of in their way. So if you notice,
so it means something completely different.
Now it could be really bad.
Ah, yes, the CTU key cards. And those little receptacles we only kind of put in when we need them. They're not usually there. We put them in towards the story when the story needs them.
It could be sent unfiltered.
It's not protocol.
I thought it was all right in-house.
Only if it's authorized.
It's funny that the storyline actually even holds up considering how much stuff is happening in this show. But here's that showdown, because this whole area is up on a bit of a platform. I just love the fact that this was like two gunfighters facing off in front of everybody, nose to nose.
Alleged sexual harassment, right? Well, she's lying. Listen.
No, you listen. There are 17 canisters of nerve gas about to be deployed somewhere in Los
Angeles. Of course, Chloe wins the fight.
If you interrupt our work one more time, I'll file a complaint with Division. Then you'll see what protocol's all about.
There you go. There's a nose-to-nose shot. That's it. He's gone. She saves the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chloe, we need to help Audrey. We don't have much time.
How?
We need to find a connection between...
Thank God for Chloe. She's the only one that really helps Jack and CTU.
It's not enough. We need proof that they had direct contact, preferably more than once.
Do you think Henderson gave Colette Audrey's name?
And everyone else is just busy walking around with files.
Don't you love that, though? I thought that you liked that people are walking around all the time.
My favorite.
Now, this actually, we can start with this as...
This is the back of our stage.
This is the back of our studio. When we went to the gas company, which isn't really even a gas company. I think it's an electrical plant. We just ran out of time, and you always prioritize. And so the gate was the last of our worries, so we pushed it to another night. And it ended up being virtually our backyard. So this is our back.
Gate
and our fence. We added those pipes.
You did this, and then... After the event, for the beginning of the next episode, the telephone call.
That's right, when Jack's all sooty and making his phone call. So this is just our loading dock, and we just, put the right elements in, and we're able to make the cut. And when you're finally inside here, really, you're at the electrical plant that we shot it in. We couldn't even get a picture of a gas plant, could we? I mean, we tried. We didn't even know what one looked like. I know they were hard. It was hard to do research on.
Yeah, but now we're inside it.
Right, and we've been in this one before. If you remember the
Palmer's assassination attempt.
Palmer's assassination from year one, and when the kids were hiding, they had the nuclear football, and they were hiding, in this plant also.
Ouch!
Yeah, that hurts. Can you take us to
the control room? Yeah, sure. This
I love these guys. I love the. There's kind of a real 70s, almost 60s feel to this whole area, and I love it. Just wonderful, the colors and the green, and these guys in their short sleeve shirts. Julian, I think, is doing a great job too as Bjarko.
He's great.
He's very menacing. And again, this was a real challenge for us because, you know, the writers came up with the plan. They're going to put the nerve gas, you know, finally we're going to get rid of all the nerve gas, put it in the, you know, gas system, get it to all the houses. And, of course, you know, we read they blow up a gas plant, and that's where you and I sort of kick in, and Michael Click is the other producer, and we start trying to figure out, you know, what are the steps of blowing up a gas plant? Because we have two choices. We could do it practically, which is what we did on this show, or you could do CGI, which is computer-generated imagery. And we're just not fans of doing it that way.
Yeah, we looked into... This is the only episode I looked into building a miniature of a thing. And it was going to cost so much money just to build the miniature.
And so we actually eventually decided to build some gas tanks to blow them up.
Yeah.
There were some there already that were part of this complex, but because they were tearing this complex down, there were some empty spaces where we could put two of our own tanks. Now, what do you build those with when you build them to blow up? You don't really build gas tanks, obviously.
No, they were just built with the usual balsa wood. That's why they disintegrate like they do. And there's one shot where you'll see it, the second explosion. I can't believe we're talking about it. It's half an hour to go still before we get there. But you and I, we were so happy with it because it is very, it's done very cheaply. We built two semicircular containers and they fitted in with all the others. And you have no idea that we just blew up those two. Oh, but that's what I was going to say. There's one of them, the second explosion. I don't understand, because the two that explode are number two and number four. And you see, I think two explode, but it was before the other one. I don't know. I keep watching it, but I don't know if they CGI'd out the number on the tank.
No, I think it was just an angle where you couldn't see the number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk about this early because it happens so quickly at the end that we're able to talk about it because it's like 2 seconds from the end. But basically, we only exploded two tanks. Again, it's a budget thing. But we had three cameras every time. In fact, four. I think we had one inside the car. We had a crash box inside the car. So we're able to repeat the explosions and make them look like they were more because they were at such different angles.
This scene, actually, I have to say, it was a bit weird because the scene where Wayne takes out one of his pursuers is taken out of the show. So that's where Wayne Palmer got hold of the
gets
gun.
The gun. Everyone
it was kind
has,
of a big leap.
Now, if you want, you can go right to the deleted scenes, and I'm sure it's there.
Yeah, good.
Yet another deleted scene.
I don't know.
You know, Mrs. Raines.
I don't have any names.
You're going to give me a name.
I swear, I don't know.
We don't have the time.
Look, there's your man playing Jack Bauer. I think it's great.
He is like Action Man.
Yeah.
It's that hair.
Chloe, what have you got?
We found some masked entries in Colette Stanger's cell phone. The decryption program headed...
Come on.
Again, this is an interesting show because it is very claustrophobic because the whole first half of it is inside CTU. Actually, about the first half. And then it really goes out. When we go to the gas plant, then it really, you know, opens up and there's lots of action and helicopters and all sorts of stuff happening. And so now here's Jack going to yet another holding room, which is actually
the same
holding room. Our one holding room. See, the door's in a different place, so it feels a little different.
She's not happy now.
I have an immunity agreement signed.
You know, and I think that at first, you know, in the original script, Jack was supposed to grab her by the throat, but we had already done the Audrey scene by then, and so we didn't want to repeat it. So it was kind of interesting.
So he hits him instead.
Yeah, well, I like that he takes his gun, you know, and then he's threatening him with the marshal's gun, which is really kind of fun. You know, and then later on, when he goes out and gives it to Bill, there's actually what I call 24 comedy, because there isn't a lot of 24 comedy, but that's one of them, where he says to him, here, give this back to the marshal. He'll be looking for it.
Yes.
She was wonderful. She did a great job for us.
Did he tell you why?
And I think here's a great line reading that everyone loves, of Kiefer's.
He wanted you to get inside.
Coming up.
It worked. But now I'm upset.
I just love that. I don't know why.
What did he say? I missed it.
Now I'm upset.
All right.
It's a big pause before he said it. It's just so different for him. But you know what? It's kind of fun. And I know the fans liked it.
Dozens of those in the city. Which one?
I don't know.
You know, yet again, it's kind of an interesting thing that, you know, first he had Audrey in this room, and now he's got this woman and Colette in this room. And at some point, it's all leading to the gas plant. He actually believes her, which is kind of interesting.
Dad, what's going on?
Jericho's targeting a natural gas distribution center, but we don't know which one.
Here comes a joke right now.
Use it as a delivery system for the Syntox. You can get it into people's homes. I need you to get Chloe on it. We need to find out which one.
Right. The rescinding order will be here in 15 minutes.
Good. Give it to the marshal. I'll be looking for this, too.
That's our 24
that area
humor.
That I finished back there, I've noticed it's being used quite a lot.
Yeah. You know, 24 keeps expanding, and, you know, as the writers write new scenes and new areas of 24, new areas of CTU for 24, that whole corner area we built for when Jack is looking for the guy that put the Syntox in.
Mm.
And so now it's there, so we use it over and over again.
I don't know.
Poor Audrey has to go through the torture that we put so many people through on this show.
It wears off pretty quickly, though, doesn't it?
Well, as long as you unplug it.
You've really got nothing in your veins? Still running through?
No, just it's instant.
Oh, cool.
They got the best chemical torture stuff there is. Plus, she's still hurting, I can tell.
She's going to have her hair washed. Need her hair washed.
You got to look very carefully in a box. You'll see her cleaning up a little bit. We added that actually in the last second that day. Because by the time she comes back out at the end, she's looking pretty good. And this is great because this is really their first real kiss since he's come back from the dead. Not the scenario you would think it would happen in. So we kind of enjoyed that as far as working on the scene and having it happen here. Yet again interrupted with a phone call.
Go.
Jack.
I'll be right there. Billy wants you to send someone over from medical to interrogation one to tend to Audrey Raines.
All right.
Thanks.
He should have sent somebody to look after the marshal as well.
Oh, they could probably go there after they help Audrey Raines.
Oh, and by the way.
By the way. Clean up my mess. And so that's all we needed. We needed that piece of information to launch us into this final attack.
Our target's not in that grouping. We're out of luck.
Can we redirect any other satellite?
Trying.
And again, we take license with some of this stuff. These PSI levels that I'm sure there's a little bit of reality in that, but the fact that you can adjust them like we're adjusting them in the show. We're always looking for a gauge, a ticking clock. In this case, it's PSI going down to 50%. You're always looking for that visual so the audience is hooked in and watching that ticking clock, or in this case, the percent level going down to 50. It always helps sort of accentuate the action a little bit.
The PSI would have to be lowered before the nerve gas was...
And see, she wasn't there for nothing.
Whoa,
she was a chemistry
major.
How lucky
is that?
How lucky is that? She saves the day.
Less than 45 minutes and she's already earned her day's pay.
Yeah, there you go. She got it right.
Wilshire Gas Company. The PSI has dropped to 75% in the past 10 minutes.
I have to assume that's it. I'll tell Jack. Great work, Sherry.
Congratulations.
Uh-oh. He shouldn't have done that.
Oh, no.
See the way his hand brushed across my shoulder as he walked by?
Boy, talk about out of the blue, but it works. And she did a great job, too. Kate did a great job. Now, this is a Disney ranch, actually. Disney has this ranch that they do all their exteriors, and they have cabins built and lots of forests and little streams and rivers, and that's where we were. And it's got to be the coldest night I think I've ever spent on 24 in 5 years. It was so absolutely freezing out there. This was great because we got to see Pierce in action, which we already did this year, actually. He saved Martha in the attack on the limo, and here he is again, now saving Wayne, David Palmer's brother. That's great. Pierce has become a character that a lot of our audience really is hooked into. I think he's a lot like Jack Bauer. He has a real sort of solid commitment to the country and to the president. Mm. And that's going to be his dilemma over the next few episodes. Okay, the gas plant. It's coming. See, there you go. See, she's cleaning up. See that?
I missed that because I was looking at my gas canisters.
Now, this is fantastic because we had this helicopter work. And, of course, these shots here, the helicopter isn't flying. It's just sitting on the ground. And we're doing what's called poor man's process and just moving the cameras a little bit. But we did send our camera operator, Guy Skinner, up on the helicopter with a double. It wasn't Kiefer. It was a Kiefer double. And we're able to shoot over him and see the plant in the background. And it looks just fantastic. It makes you believe that this part of it is true when you see that shot. The noise
from the plant should cover our descent. Yeah, and we did try, even though you see it very briefly, the satellite image of that gas station is the real gas station.
Yeah, that's right.
We photoshopped in our tanks. And then
able to do now, of course, because you can just get on the internet.
Yeah, here's our alien eggs.
Yeah, this was my little shout out to aliens, the way these canisters open.
Yeah, and it didn't occur to me when I had the tops just open, and then it was just to make them look cool. And then when I saw it the first time that they open and then they kind of hesitate and then the gas comes out, yeah. It's so spooky.
Now, this was great. We were able to use the video. This is a panel that you built, which I think was great, fit right in, so we could put our own little pressure gauge in.
There's that panel and the other panel with the fire extinguisher on.
That's right. We built that also so we could do our effect. Yeah, there's our tanks. And here's that beautiful shot coming right up on the plant. That's one of the Tamburo helicopter pilots that we use. That's Chuck Tamburo. He's an actual helicopter pilot who does a couple of lines. That's Vin Diesel. No, I'm kidding. No, Vin Diesel. Looks like Vin Diesel. And again, that shot was all about showing that even though they're outside, he was going one way and the helicopter kind of snuck in from another angle.
Yeah, when I watched it the first time, the plant was so loud, you would never have heard the helicopter anyway.
Right.
So.
And that's a great cut, watching the stuntman come down. And then, of course, we had a little bar with a rope on it that Kiefer finished the last 10 feet. But it worked so great in that cut. Every time I see it, I think, man, did Kiefer do that? And although Kiefer does his own things, jumping out of a helicopter that day wasn't one of them. But all this other action stuff and the ladders and everything else you see here, Kiefer, of course, does. There's our panel. See, and again, this, again, is almost representative of a clock always ticking down.
Yeah, and we chose the graphics to fit in with the...
the style of the plant. Yeah, so they didn't have that high-tech look to them.
Yeah.
And, the hardest thing, when we go out there, Joseph's with me, as we go out to all these location scouts, and sometimes we spend days going to factory after factory, and although when you see it all like this, you think, wow, no, that was pretty straightforward as to where everything was. Really, you're looking at a factory that's, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks large, and you really have to isolate an area and another area and to make it all fit as well as it seems to fit here, but... it is a challenge going into these buildings and figuring out the areas they're going to shoot in. You also don't want to be all over the place because it takes a long time to light every area, so you're trying to keep everything compacted in one area. But I think in this case, we started from this room. I think the room and the tanks is what sort of made our decision. All these other things.
And the roof, I think.
And the roof, the roof was also very important, obviously, for the scene you just saw. Yeah. But we knew we needed a control room. This one was great because it had different doors so I could attack it from different sides. It had this little sort of blind alley, which I liked, so our guys could get in. Unfortunately, here's a guy coming out of the washroom, sees them, and all hell breaks loose. And again, a shout-out to Stan and Scott Blackwell, our effects. They're just so good at sort of doing all the hits you see here. Everything blowing up on the tables and again, we wanted to get the video in here so he could actually see what he was doing. You could see that he's letting the canisters. Here they go.
They are like alien eggs.
They're just fantastic. I had so much fun shooting that. That was on studio. We built the inside of that tank on studio, and I must have shot so much footage that night. I just had so much fun. I couldn't stop. Shooting that, of course, you know, you always have to end the shootout with a really cool Jack move. And again, he's now able to see them, so everybody's confirming that. Uh-oh.
Listen to me. You have Syntox nerve gas running through your pipeline. Can you shut down the pumps?
By the time we power down, gas will be in the main tanks and it's out into the city.
Where's the closest pipeline that feeds those tanks?
It'll just out the door to your left.
Sometimes you just get hooked watching the show. I know. They're suckers, too, for the show.
That's right. There's a hive outside with a red arrow on it.
Oh, come on. I like the red arrow thing. Do you remember the pipes actually had arrows on them?
I know, but it was just something about that arrow. Because I suppose was painted at the moment. Here they looked like it had been painted at the moment.
We couldn't get enough of these nerve gas canisters. There it is. The pipe with the red arrow. There you go.
Yeah, it's just a badly proportioned arrow, that's all.
And that's he's amongst many, many real pipes there. But that one that we built, we were able to do our explosions for. See, now there's a piece of detail I just loved. The
him
fact that he broke that
off.
In half. Instead of just taking one of those big sticks and throwing it on there. Because the idea was not to blow the whole pipe up.
Right.
The idea was always to get the fire inside the pipe and it would run its way through the system into the main tanks. Now, whether people got that or not, I'm not sure. But I was hoping that was the idea because we knew we couldn't blow up everything. We knew we could only blow up a certain amount of things. And the tanks were what we could blow up.
Curtis, are you clear?
Again, our backyard.
Jack, are you clear? Jack!
Of course, everyone monitoring Jack's progress. And here we go. So this gives you the idea that, you know, by seeing 1-2, you could see that it's traveling. And then this was unbelievable. I mean, this is Kiefer Sutherland running away from these huge gas explosions. And I'll never forget after the first take, I went up to him and I patted him on the back and I said, Kiefer, that was absolutely awesome. And his back was so hot.
Wow.
It was hot. He was close. And of course, at that point I said, yeah, we need to do it again and again. I think I made him do it about 4 times. At one point we had a golf cart in front of him to get that really close-up shot. And he kept saying, can you guys go faster? Can you guys go faster?
See, there's 2.
So there's our tanks. 2 and 4, believe it or not. 24 are the 2 tanks that we built. So that's,
but I didn't plan
that's
it
one
that way.
Tank, which we used for this.
Right, that was number 2.
See there's but 2 and 4.
You don't see the 2 blow up the first time.
That's right.
I don't think. I hope.
So there's the same tank blowing up, but we're just from a different angle. And we just get a feeling like the whole place is going. Then I wanted to see them in the shot when that one went off. So that's the 2 actors actually in front of that explosion. And, of course, when this one goes off, there's really nobody there.
Whew.
Hope you enjoyed it. We did.
Thank you very much.